You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Mary Rodwell. Mary is the founder of ACERN, Australian Close Encounters Research Network. Mary is a co-founder of the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, or FREE. Mary is a nurse, hypnotherapist, and professional counselor who started explorations into ET experiences due to the strange happenings in the lives of her clients. Her research has guided her to write about our cosmic heritage and the new kids. She is the author of Awakening, How Extraterrestrial Contact Can Transform Your Life, and her latest book, The New Human, Awakening to Our Cosmic Heritage. She's also the producer of EBE award-winning documentaries, Expressions of ET Contact, A Visual Blueprint, and Expressions of ET Contact, A Communication and Healing Blueprint. In addition, Mary is the producer of New Mind Records, a series of meditation and relaxation CDs which can be found at www.newmindrecords.com. Her website is www.acern.com.au. You can also find her on Facebook. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm good, Lance, and I hope you're well now. You were a bit you weren't able to do a show earlier because of the fact you'd been unwell yourself. So I hope you're up and running very well.
Yes, I am. Thank you. I'm back in the saddle. Well, I wanted to share with you that your recent book is just mind-blowing, and I love it. It's just it's an incredible book with stories galore about these new kids who have had contact and experiences, and it's just full of information and wisdom, and I think it really should be required reading in schools, to be honest with you.
I really appreciate your feedback, and I'm really humbled by the response that I have from it, because, like you say, there are educators out there, more aware educators. There are, you know, in forms of the teachers. You've got parents that are having these new children looking for resources and for help. And also, you know, I've found that those that are looking at this whole experience of contact and communication with non-human intelligences from a broader perspective and knowing how this has changed their life, they too have got validation, which for many of them, they've never been able to speak about it because it's always sounded so strange to many people. Mm-hmm. And yet this is a reality. This is happening. And for me, it's in the voices of these young children that are talking to me and sharing their experiences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, of course, many of us came in as originally there was a big wave of indigos and rainbows and all kinds of crystals and so on. And then they kind of became passé to call them by a certain name. But, I mean, there are indigos that came in and have been here for over 90 years ago they've been coming in. So the phenomenon has been gaining ground. And one of the things that you said really struck me very hard, and that is that these new kids wouldn't be incarnating on the planet if it was going to fail. And I know many of us see the dark side of things that are going on because of the controllers who are doing their best to turn us into a virtual reality and basically enslave all of us even further. But this gives us a ray of hope that these kids are coming here in droves, and they wouldn't be coming in if they were going to fail. And one of your kids says that there's a 95 to 100% chance that we'll succeed this time.
Yes, and I think given what's going on the planet for anyone who's aware, I think it can be very daunting to think that somehow or other, how can we change this? How can we, you know, redefine our planet in a new way with how it should be and how we know the potential is there? And I really have felt very strongly, and, you know, looking at the souls that have agreed to come in, and the children talk about this. They talk about they've come in to help. They've come in to teach. They've come in to offer healing. They've come in to change how we live on multiple levels. And they have the awareness and the ability to do it. And they're all saying, you know, this is, you know, the reason they've come in is because they know that they can do this. There is no point to coming into a planet where, you know, we are going to lose this shift. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's important to retain that. No matter what you're seeing on the planet now, or how it appears overwhelming, because every one of us have a part to play in this. We're the ones that we're waiting for is a favorite saying by many people. And I absolutely agree with that. We don't buy into the fear. We don't buy into the fear, you know, what is put out there at this moment. Yes, we've got lots of changes. Lots of things are happening that are very positive as well. You know, a lot of the corruption, things are being exposed now. I mean, you know, we say that, you know, the real translation of Armageddon is actually revealing. Mm-hmm. And that's what is happening now. It's being revealed to us what we need to change. And the great thing with the kids is that they're not influenced a lot of the time by what is going on, because they know the truth. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they know we're being lied to. They are being given the information they need to change what's going on and to shift what's going on. They cannot be manipulated in the same way. They do not have the they're not so easily programmable. Mm-hmm. As you know, older generations have been. And this is when I talk about the ADHDs, the Asperger's, and some forms of autism and dyslexia, and even possibly some of the Tourette's are part of this. What we're finding out is they're harder to program, and that's the whole reason for them incarnating, because with that, they're able to be more in tune with their higher selves, with the information that they're being taught aboard craft and on other planets. They're going out of body, being helped to have the skills that they need and how to manifest it in this physical reality.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, of course, some claim that some of the things that you mentioned are a result of vaccinations, but wouldn't it be ironic if that were the case, because the vaccinations would create beings who were actually able to transcend this reality and change it. So that would be kind of a bitter irony for those people that are doing those things.
It is an interesting one, Lance, and it has been something that I've looked at quite seriously as well, is they must have known, incarnating, yes, that this would be part of the mandate for some of them. But we do know that some of these children have the ability to adjust and change what's happening to them. Mm-hmm. And that, mm-hmm, is on a molecular level. So maybe with that, it may be part of the whole bigger picture that we're missing, because we're only seeing it from, you know, we've got these little bits of information which make it very hard for us to see the big picture and to know what the big picture is.
Yes.
And I feel that they must have known that this was going to happen. And maybe, as you say, it's a bit of an irony that maybe in some ways that's been a catalyst for, yes, these new children to access more of who they are.
Yes, that certainly would be. But in any case, I'm just happy that they're here. And it seems that they're growing in numbers pretty rapidly. Is that the case?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, my emails each day, I'm getting new ones. Only in the last few days, someone from Russia, someone from Venezuela. I got another one from, I think it was Jamaica. Uh-huh. All of these individuals are coming from often non-English speaking countries, mm-hmm, that are somehow accessing the information, somehow finding me. And they all come out with the same things, right from a kid, you know, I knew I was different. They may say that they're communicating with non-physical entities or beings. They feel like they're not from here. They don't relate to Earth in the way that a lot of the so-called norm do. They're aware of their past lives, that they have healing abilities, for example. Some even say they can communicate with animals, plants, or even minerals. Are able to see energy fields. They're able to feel and see emotions. Many identify with a mission, feel very different. They struggle to integrate with their own peers, their own age. They're very mature and very bored by conventional learning is a really good one.
Yes, I know that one. Yeah. Well, even Einstein, I think he failed one of the mathematics classes, and I guess it was just too boring for him. But another interesting irony is that so much funding has been cut from the school system because the elite come in and take all the really valuable resources that they want, and the rest are just left to the devices of the whoever's left to teach them, which gets worse and worse every year when you're not paying enough money to really enthuse the kids and get them in programs that excite their imagination. And I just can't imagine going to school in a day in 2018 and having it be interesting.
That's one of the big issues that educators and parents and the children themselves have contacted me about, the programs of education, this 19th century model that has been out there that is completely outdated in terms of the children of today. And what the teachers, and that there are a lot of very aware teachers out there. In fact, I'm going to be coming to the States to talk to some of them in Portland when I come over in about a month's time. And these are the ones that, you know, are in Montessori schools and, you know, and Steiner, for example, in Portland, and as well as the homeschooling parents. The whole idea is for them to understand these children are different. These children are very aware. They are already being taught in out-of-body states. They're having downloads of information. Many of them are being taught complex subjects. They're being shown a lot of cosmology. They're taught in a way that they're already coming in with this innate knowledge. So the teachers need to understand that really it's about listening to what these children need to tell them, need to share with them, and how best to offer them support. And it's going to be a reversal of roles in many ways, where the teachers have to listen to the kids and for the kids to say, I need to know about this, or I need the environment so I can actually expand on my awareness or expand on what I already know. Because a lot of the time they're aware that what they're being taught is archaic and it's not relevant, to who they are and why they've come here.
And so much of it is lies and the reshaping of history by those who conquested other civilizations. You know, we're not really getting the truth, and it only goes back so far. And as I understand it, there have been alien wars going back millions of years and all kinds of things that we can't even imagine because it's just dropped. It's not even mentioned. And so much of our history is polished and propaganda, and it's designed to get us to go with the program. So hopefully the old paradigms are truly falling like we thought they would, and it may be that the children will lead the way out. As one of, I think there was a book that wrote about that, the children will lead the way.
I firmly believe that's why they've come in, and many of the children talk about teaching the adults, because they do, many of them not only remember their past lives, they also remember what they did in those past lives. As one young man I've mentioned a number of times that knew he came from Orion, and he was a light physicist and worked on time travel technologies, and he was saying how primitive the physics was on this planet, for example.
Yes.
So we've really got to understand that, you know, we have been brought up and programmed primarily with an inaccurate system of history, anthropologically, archaeologically, in terms of every subject, every area of knowledge is not, in fact, true or accurate. It's partly true, but a lot of the time it's inaccurate. So you've almost got to start again and reappraise your whole paradigm with the understanding of you know, the fact that we are an engineered species to start with.
Yes.
And that's the reason so many of these species are interested in us, because we're part of them. And many of the children talk about the fact that we have at least 12 different inserts of DNA from these different species of beings that are interacting with us. And we are, you know, we are literally a created species with them as our ancestors. And it's nothing to do with, you know, are we, you know, related to the monkey or related to...
Right.
You know, any of the other previous beings on the planet. And we have the information there. There are whistleblowers, you know, geneticists that actually admit to this and say, you know, that we are in fact a created species. And there's molecular biologists that are doing it, and geneticists that are saying the truth, unfortunately, hasn't been put out. We're not told these things, so we continue to believe, you know, that we are, you know, just an evolving monkey, which, of course, you know, when you look into the DNA, it isn't telling us that at all.
Right, right. Absolutely right. And, you know, it's my feeling that we probably have had these skills very early on when we were first, when we first manifested as a created species. And that those skills have been slowly manipulated and taken away from us because the control system that established itself decided that they couldn't have people who could see through the programming or the matrix, and so our DNA has been snipped a bit, and you know, a snip here and there, and some mind control and programming, and you've got basically the whole world believing that the things are the way that they portray it, and it's not that case at all.
I have been very interested in the whole DNA side of it because, you know, my background's nursing midwifery, and that the scientific biological side of this, I think, is very tangible for people.
Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating, we do know, is that we have the addition of 223 genes that no other species on this planet has, by the way, only Homo sapiens sapiens. But Dr. Francis Crick says something really compelling in his book, Life Itself. And he's saying that two things that I think people really need to be aware of, that the DNA molecule is the most efficient information storage system in the entire universe. Its immensity, its complex coded, precisely sequenced information is staggering. And it speaks of intelligent information bearing design. But what he then says is even more intriguing. They, extraterrestrials, program the molecules so they could therefore teach us about ourselves and how to progress for life to form by chance was mathematically impossible. But what he basically saying is that when we get to a certain level of evolution, we can access the truth of who we are. And I believe this is exactly what's happening with a lot of the star kids, because they will start to say, I'm from, they remember their origins. They start to have this knowing, this sense of who they are. And this knowledge is coming from not only what they're given by the star beings, but they're also having that knowing, that integral information that's part of their DNA that has been activated. And this is what I believe is happening and has been happening, as you say, certainly for the last 100 years.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I remember watching a YouTube video about Boriska, the boy from Mars, about 10, 15 years ago. And, you know, he can recall just about everything about Mars. And, of course, in your book, there's a whole chapter and a lot of references to life on Mars and what's going on there. And, of course, it's claimed that that we have a base on Mars and that... it's not known, but it is there, and probably bases on many of the other planets, as well as advanced communications and travel possibilities, because there's a breakaway civilization. So we know that we have the technology as well, and it's all being concealed and hidden because, you know, it's a service to self thing. those who run the system want to play God, and they don't want anybody else to play their game.
There's a lot, and Lance, you're obviously very well informed. I mean, one of the things that this whole subject takes you into is so many areas which many people call the conspiratorial, whether you like it or not. It's not conspiracy fiction, it's conspiracy fact. and the other thing is the children have told me about being taken to other planets, being told me about civilizations there. They've talked about Mars a lot, have talked about domes on Mars, for example, and the beings that have shown them that they live under the surface, and that there is a consensus that maybe some of us came from there anyway.
Yeah.
But the moon, that the moon is artificial.
Yeah.
And one young man was telling his father that in his other lifetime, one of his other lifetimes, they left something on the moon, something that when we reached a certain level of consciousness that was going to assist us to activate a certain level of consciousness, he said, which he'd left on the moon.
Oh.
We already know the pictures there now of artifacts on the moon, artifacts on Mars, for example. The children are filling in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Of what we're seeing. I mean, anyone can go and look at some excellent films on the anomalies on the moon, the anomalies on Mars. It doesn't take you to be a brain surgeon to work out there's something that this is all part of our history. But, the kids are, they don't make any bones about it. You get young children talking to me, and they're children, they're talking about complex subjects here. I mean, one seven-year-old only a few months ago was telling me about the fact that he had he used to go, and still does go, out of body to his other planet where he comes from, which is in the ninth dimension.
Wow.
He was explaining, not only that, but he said that, some of the beings that visit us now, like the greys and what have you, they can't go further than the sixth dimension.
Huh.
And how he can go through portals into other realms. Now, this is a seven-year-old explaining this to me.
Wow.
This isn't a 17-year-old or a 70-year-old. This is the kind of information. I mean, it's very high-level information that's coming from children under 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's incredible. Just incredible. What are the what's the predominance of types of alien or ET contacts that you're aware of? In other words, we know that there are greys, reptilians, dracos, and mantids that have a hand in this reality. What do you see the most coming up in your research?
Lance, it's a very good question, and I think a lot of the mainstream public is very uninformed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only really told about maybe the greys, as you say, or the reptilians, or the dracos, or whatever. What people also need to understand, that one lady explained to me that she knew of 165 species of grey, for example.
Wow.
So we can't just pick one grey out of the matrix and say that represents all greys, because there are different levels of awareness with greys, and different levels of consciousness, for example. There are blue beings, there are crystalline beings, there are lion beings, feline beings. There are a whole range of different types of beings that are coming from, a silica makeup as well as a carbon makeup.
Yep.
We've got energy beings, for example. The consensus is now that we have maybe many hundreds of different types of beings. They'll show us a form that we can deal with or handle. Usually, some of them can create a form to help us be desensitized to what they really may look at, because some of them are very, very different.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, although we hear of, some of them, I mean, even those that, the blue beings, for example, Krishna, for example, was a blue being. Ganesha, an elephant-type being.
Yeah.
I believe that many of the creatures that we've got on this planet are probably got beings that look like them, only they're as well. We have to allow that no matter how great our imagination is, it's probably way beyond that in terms of millions and millions of intelligences out there. Some of them are able to change their form, which they will do. There are others that are coming from interdimensional places, extra-dimensional, trans-dimensional. Some call them some ascended type beings. Mm-hmm. There are some from our future. So
we've got
all this matrix of intelligence out there that we are starting to connect to. And we've really got to see now that whatever we can possibly imagine is probably there's a being out there like that. So mm-hmm. when you look at these, you know, so-called fiction films where they've got all these different types of beings and what have you, they may not all come from imagination. They may be coming in to desensitize us to the matrix of an immensity of creativity that can be out there that's intelligent.
Yes, absolutely. And it would make sense, too, that if originally there were groups of beings who worked together to create this environment for us, that there would be beings that were had created elephants and praying mantis and snakes and this and that and the other thing, and that there would also be some that had a quasi-human form as well. So it's quite possible that everything we see is a reflection of what is out there in the larger world, existing as a part of the creation and the part of what helped create the conditions for our planet here.
Absolutely. One of the 8-year-olds I spoke to explained to me how she'd been taken to a particular planet where there were dog-like type beings. And she explained also not only were they showing her about an energy field around the planet, but she was also shown genetic engineering. And she was shown how they work with various life forms, including planets and animals, et cetera, et cetera, and told about the fact that they are creating life forms for all sorts of different environments mm-hmm. On different planets, dimensions, et cetera, et cetera. So mm-hmm. this is an ongoing creativity where mm-hmm. really there's nothing standing in the way of anything to do with how life can be created. That's the sense that mm-hmm. I got from what she was telling me. And remember, you know, it's interesting how these children are shown these things mm-hmm. so that they are quite comfortable. I mean, she's absolutely comfortable with it. She was just really excited to be able to tell me about it because a lot of the time, these are things these children can't talk about. I mean, mm-hmm. one of the things that I put in my presentation when I'm talking about the children and what have you, and this 15-year-old was explaining how when she goes to school, she actually feels sick. She says no one is, you know, that nobody helps her, no one's teaching her anything, no one's awake, and they don't. And she was going on, I'm not learning anything. It's a children's prison. She said, you know, they don't question. And this is the interesting thing she said to me is they don't question what society thinks or how we live on this planet. We have to pay to stay alive, pay to go to work, pay to eat, pay for water, pay for shelter, pay for power, etc. And she said, you know, that to her is just beyond nonsense to her.
Right.
This is how she's come in with that understanding.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people understand that because they understand that this is a pay-as-you-go planet and that it's been arranged in such a way that you have to pay for everything. And, you know, those in control and those below them are all aligned on sucking the money and life force out of the planet itself and out of the humans that have to work and toil and slave. And I don't think it was ever meant to be that way, and I don't think it was that way. I think this is something that just evolved over many thousands of years, and it just kind of slipped up on us, and now we're, you know, we just have to follow because there's so many rules and regulations and belief systems that it makes it harder and harder to break out of the system.
You're absolutely right. And I think this is why these new kids have come in, because it is harder to program them. As one 9-year-old says, you know, that going to school now, that, you know, the teachers just program the children they program them out of their light is the way she explained it. And certainly some will certainly go by the wayside in that sense.
Yeah.
But there's also many that do survive that. And what we're seeing now from aware educators, and these educators, many of them know this is real because they've had their own experiences. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the interesting thing is when I talk about some of those that, you know, understand the children, understand what's going on, some of them have, you know, very high quality professional backgrounds, you know, molecular biologists, PhD educators, for example, but they know this is real because of their own experiences, often as not. And they're being helped to create what is needed so these children can be supported in these new environments. And it is happening. It is changing. There's new ways of looking at helping these kids. And I think that, you know, these labels that they're given is just one way of identifying that we have to look at things differently now. Because, you know, the high incidence, for example, of autism has been exponential. I mean, the figures, I think I can give you a quick idea of that. Autism in 1975 was 1 in 5,000. Now, in 2018, it's 1 in 45.
Wow.
That's
not surprising
staggering.
when they give babies 30 or 40 vaccinations right at birth. I mean, those tender children and their formative cells are not designed to handle the toxic chemicals that are in those vaccinations, and yet they're mandated to be taken. And so it would be no surprise that there was brain damage and all kinds of alterations that would change them for the worse.
I think it doesn't take, again, someone very, you know, you don't have to be very intelligent to work out from when I was, you know, I was a nurse. I believed in vaccinations when I was trained. My children got vaccinated, but there was minimal then.
Right, right.
Now, I think two or three or something like that, 45 years ago when I had my children. Now it is incredible the number of vaccinations that are that we're told we need.
Right.
And that includes all the way through our life, from flu vaccines, which I think are only the results of any stats are about maybe just 5% effective, if they're effective at all.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's we were very uninformed then, and the problem is that's the problem with all of this. You're demonized if you challenge the system. You're demonized as being a bad parent. Whatever way you look at it, you can't win against that. And yet there are homeopathic ways of immunizing your kids that, you know, do no damage whatsoever, for example, and can be extremely effective. And what have you. And the main thing is we have to understand nature's a pretty good immunologist, if you think about it. As long as you feed your child well, you give them plenty of a good diet is the best way you can protect your kids, and making sure that, you know, they have plenty of fresh air, and that, you know, and you know, ground themselves, all these kinds of natural things. And one of the things that I have done in the book, as you well know, is look at things of helping whatever the label the child has. There are many ways to help them stabilize themselves. And, you know, I've got Dr. Lena Olson, who's a molecular biologist, who is a scientist, who has found that a lot of these children are sensitive on all the senses, from to touch to hearing. They hear more. Of the auditory spectrum, they see more of the visual spectrum. She said part of the reason is that you know, they're operating at a higher frequency.
Yes.
But you can help them with that with more vitamin B's. There are a lot of different vitamins and minerals that will help them stabilize and help them manage that. And the diet is really, really important. And we know now how important diet is. So there's lots of things you can do to stabilize your kids and to help them. But you need to know what to do about it, you know, to give them the best chance. But the main thing is I just say to people, when it comes to advice around all these different things, such as vaccinations, just do your homework,
right.
Look into it and make an educated decision, because it doesn't take a brain surgeon to work out certain things within these extraordinary number of vaccinations now.
Right.
Is it really necessary. They're already bringing up a lot of the fact that a lot of animals are over-vaccinated and having terrible problems.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of vets are very angry with the fact that, you know, this has been, you know, something they've been told to do because it's a money-making exercise. And a lot of these pets do not need the amounts of vaccinations that they have year in, year out and what have you. So just be cluey. Just do your homework. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anyone. Just look for yourself and make an educated decision.
Well, you know, it's documented in, you can look it up, but there was a major pharmaceutical company that intentionally sent out thousands of vaccinations that included a live HIV virus. And I think it was going to hemophiliacs. I don't remember exactly who they were sending them to, but they got caught with their pants down and were sued, of course, and they had to admit that, well, they didn't want to lose the money. So thousands of people got HIV from the live virus that was in it. Now, how did that get in there and why? There was also a study that showed that in New York and in San Francisco in 1982, the World Health Organization was instrumental in a hepatitis B vaccination study in which people were also given live HIV virus. And whether they were testing, the statute of limitations is up now, but whether they were testing some kind of vaccination for people or whatever, nobody was informed that that virus was in there. And there are many people today that have had it for over 33 years that got it through those hepatitis B vaccination studies.
Oh, look, I think there's been multiple cover-ups around a lot of these vaccinations because it's a good money-making exercise.
Absolutely.
Let's create another one.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, and this whole thing, you know, there's another pandemic coming. Go and get your vaccination. It's all based, a lot of it, this is based on fear. If you've got a good immune system, nine times out of 10, you've got nothing to worry about with most things. A good diet, you know, a lot of the reason a lot of these other diseases have been eradicated has been more to do with good health, with decent food, with good immune systems and what have you. Just look into it for yourself. And I mean, I'm an ex-nurse, you know, a former nurse midwife. I think I've got a really balanced way of looking at things. But, you know, for me, I've been horrified because it becomes very clear that ultimately health is, you know, the allopathic health is more about making money nowadays, it seems, than actually people really wanting people to be healthy, et cetera, et cetera. And that's very, very disturbing. It's when money comes into this whole field, then things become compromised. And that's the sad thing with all of this.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, I tend to see our bodies as containing, I envision banks of doctors and nurses and scientists and researchers and test people that are testing inside my body, because really, actually, that's the way it is. There are cells that go out and find cells that don't need to be removed. I mean, it's an amazing healing facility. We have our own healing facility within, and the best doctors in the world, they're divinely created, after all. And, you know, look at how our skin heals. If you break your skin, within a few days, it's healed, and there's often not even a scar. So what could do that? If your body can do that, then you need to trust it. And we've lost our trust in ourselves because it's gradually been eroded by the allopathic techniques, which are kind of shoved down our throats because that's what's making so much money, as you said.
I think we just have to realize that at the moment on this planet, we are we have, and you call them the controllers. There's lots of different names you can give them. The ones that really want to stay at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And the only way they can control that is to control us. And one of the ways is through our health.
Yeah.
And that's a very big one in terms of people, you know, get scared. you get told enough that this is bad for you or whatever. And isn't it interesting, even with diet, how one minute you're told something's really good for you and the next minute you're told that, you're a next candidate for cancer.
Right.
I mean, I think it was something about not having too many eggs was one of the favorite ones, is you could only have something like two a week because it's not good for you. Now it's, the best thing of protein and whatever. This is the nonsense that we're fed. So you're living in confusion. You don't know what to believe. And I believe if we trust ourselves and trust how we feel about ourselves and what feels good to us, there is the best indicator for what you need to do, is listen to your own body and listen to what it's telling you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the flavor of things will tell you a lot. For instance, when I was a kid, I grew up on my grandparents' ranch, and they had come out here from in a covered wagon from Kansas and ended up in California. And they had wonderful fruit trees, and the fruit was so rich and so sweet that you literally could not stop eating them. Apricots and peaches, I mean, I would just be eating one after another to the point of almost making myself sick. They were so good. And if you go to a store and buy something, it's picked green because they have to allow for it to get there to the store so that it's not rotten. And then it's sprayed with all kinds of chemicals and this and that and the other thing. So really, it doesn't taste good at all. And I can see why kids don't want to eat their vegetables, because they're not really alive. You know, there's no life force or chi in it.
I think you're absolutely right, Lance. And this is why it's interesting. Those that have had encounters, many of them change their whole lifestyle. They go from the materialistic world. They give it all away. They're buying little rural blocks. They're growing their own food organically and what have you. You know, the chooks are, free range and what have you. All of this is really where I think it's leading us. If you want to survive and be healthy, you have to take more and more responsibility to what you're buying and what have you. Sadly, a lot of the organic foods are often twice the price as, the other foods. And that, I think, is deliberate as well, because I honestly believe the obesity epidemic is primarily due to what's stuck in these over-preserved foods and these synthesized foods that we're getting now. They're the ones that are to blame, these fast food outlets and what have you. Cheap food, everybody says, oh, I can get filled up, for $10 or whatever it is, not realizing how much they're taking in every time they go to these outlets. I mean, every now and again, treat yourself to a bit of junk food.
Right.
But please, what you take in is what your body is using as fuel. And it has to be high quality fuel if you want your body to be healthy. I mean, it's not rocket science, is it?
No, not at all. And if you're buying, burgers at the cheapest hamburger place, well, for one thing, there's stuff in there that nobody can identify with a microscope. And for another thing, they don't have any life force or vitamins or minerals or anything that's going to feed your body. So you get a quick rush of having food in your stomach, but the problem is you're not being nourished. And so the body's still hungry, and it says, I'm hungry. So what do? They get another hamburger. They go out and get some more fast food, and pretty soon they're overweight and underfed and still hungry. And because they're not getting the nutrition that they need. If the nutritional needs were met, then there would be no hunger and they'd be a normal weight.
Absolutely. And I think it's all very well saying, go on diets, and it's all very well saying, go and do more exercise. But if what you're taking in your body, even if it's a lesser amount, is still this compromised food that is being put out there, you're still on you're on a loser. I found that I've really needed to be, as I've got older, a lot wiser with what I put in my body, for sure, now. And luckily I live in a little rural town where I go down to the market and it's all, grown locally and what have you. And a lot of it is organic. So that's what I eat. And I find it very hard when I travel because, you go, and when you're traveling, you have to often eat what's out there. Airports are the worst. The rubbish that they put out, for example.
Yeah.
So, I really have to watch my health when I go traveling, because I don't always know what I'm eating, or, you know, even though you try to eat the best, because of the preservatives, the added to them.
Yeah.
And the other thing, if we're going to be holistic, is looking at how, you know, a lot of animals, are, for example, are killed, and, you know, high fear, adrenaline in the animal.
Yes.
You're picking up, you're eating that. You're eating their fear.
It's tangible.
You know, if we want to really look at this from a consciousness perspective, we have to look at everything we eat and how we treat it. And I think, you know, the Native American Indians and many of the indigenous people understand this. And that is why they bless their food. And that's why there's a whole different energy with what they're eating and what have you. I think we have so much to learn from our indigenous peoples.
Mary, what are some of the more unusual stories that you might want be able to remember and share with us tonight from your book?
There's so many of them. I think the thing that is fascinating to me is the awareness of a lot of these children that is helping us to understand exactly what is good for us and what isn't good for us. I mean, one of the things that I found interesting is their multidimensional education, for example. They're shown, for example, how to pilot spacecraft and how to navigate star maps.
Wow.
Shown advanced technologies. They're also able to use their move their consciousness into other forms. Like one 8-year-old was explaining to me that because he's very connected to the mantis beings or praying mantis beings, because they're ancestors of his, and he's going back to being a mantis when he dies. He talks about sometimes moving into the mantis form on board craft for different tasks, for example.
Wow.
So we've got here, we've got the essence or the consciousness moving into other forms, then coming back into the human container to come back down to planet Earth. The other things are healing procedures they're shown on craft. They're taught how to do healing energetically. One young lady of 8 was being taught the nature of black holes. She was taken by an ET in a craft to the inside of a black hole, where she said she was seeing planets exploding.
Wow.
And coming back together again. So she was understanding it from an experiential point of view. Even wormholes, where she shown in live detail, things like the dinosaurs in live. It was like they were showing her what was going on that we don't understand in the what are mysteries to our scientists. So the nature of black holes, wormholes. They also seem to have the, you know, they're being taught how to decode what we call, what I show in my presentations, the strange scripts, hieroglyphs. They're shown how to understand the different languages that people are starting to come out with, that as they awaken and get activated, many start speaking these unusual languages, star languages, light languages, whatever name you want to give them, that many healers are using for healing. Now, for example, they're shown time travel technologies, taken on missions with these beings and assisting them, for example. So they're not just going to learn various information about the truth of this planet, for example. They're also, taken on missions, advanced physics, creating non-polluting energy sources, ecologically friendly environments, for example. These are some of the things that they're actually taught, which I find that's what interests me is how are they different? And they're different because of the educational system that they have, or I call it multidimensional education. Whereas one young lady told me that she went to Uranus and was shown, and I said, well, why were you going to that planet? She said, oh, they were showing me how to levitate. And it's a lot easier on Uranus because the gravity's less.
Oh, wow.
So you can make of that. Well, I found that was quite fascinating that she was aware that the gravity was actually less. There's another young lady that was a 9-year-old explaining that she'd been given, I think, 7 books. And in each book was information. They weren't real books, but they were like, I don't know whether you'd call them downloads. And she said, you know, one of the books, the red book, was about creation and our origins.
Okay.
The brown one was about different planets and life there. The green one was about nature and how we can make contact with plants and animals and understand them.
Huh. Oh,
the Dark Green one was about the body and how it works and how we get it to evolve. That's the interesting bit, get it to evolve.
Yes.
Blue book about life and truth, and the red book she can't open yet because a dragon took the key from her in the 1700s. And the black book is about darkness and evil. Isn't it interesting?
That is interesting. My goodness, I'd be ordering them on Amazon right now if I could. Well, Mary, we're getting close to the end of the show, and I know you're going to be doing a couple of workshops, and you're at a wonderful event coming up in at East City Ranch with James Gilliland. There's going to be, I think, 20 or 30 people there, and you're also going to do a workshop with the Young Masters on June 14th. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yes, it's the first time I've ever done this kind of workshop in this format, and I'm really grateful to ISETI for allowing me to do it. The whole idea is to get parents with children that they know are different from 7 years old up to 16. And what I'm providing, or we're providing there, is an environment for the children to share their experiences, to share what they most need for support, to actually support each other. There will be an idea of creating a community so that they can support each other, and the older ones mentoring the younger ones that have got through some of the difficulties, for example, and also for the parents to connect so that they don't feel isolated with their child, that they feel they've got others, parents that understand. So I'm hoping to create a core of a community through the Young Masters program, which will, I hope, will, continue in other ways, and this is really now what I think has to happen, that we need those little cores of awareness so that we can start to make this a global kind of support.
Yes, absolutely, and it's by collaborating and by coming together and exploring the similarities and learning new things and keeping an open mind that we will be able to expand into whatever is coming next, because it will take an open mind for sure.
Oh, I think people are being woken up, and this is happening globally. People are being activated, they're being awoken, and this is what is so exciting. I know that it's not just a few people. I think it's happening globally, and this shift is going on right now as we speak, and it's gathering momentum, and that's what makes me so excited to think, you know, hopefully in my lifetime, I will start to see what I call a new future for humanity.
I feel the same way, Mary. I feel the same way, and I'm 67 now, and sometimes I feel 167, but I'm determined to stay until I see the shift and know that we're on the right track.
Well, I don't know if you're a grandparent at all, Lance, but I am. I've got 5 grandchildren, and I want a future for them.
Absolutely.
And I am determined while there's still breath in this body, to do my best to shake, rattle, and roll and until, you know, they finally stick me in the box to see if I can make a difference, at least try to make a difference to what's going on this planet.
Well, in my estimation, you certainly do make a tremendous difference, and I just hope that more people read your book, The New Human, Awakening to Our Cosmic Heritage, and you're welcome back anytime to talk more about this, any of these subjects, because I think it's really important to start talking about the new paradigm, which is already here. So I just want to thank you for coming on tonight, and you're welcome anytime. And if people want to meet you in person, they can go to the conference on June 14th through 17th, which is your workshop. And that will be held where in?
Trout Lake near Mount Adams. But the conference is actually in early July. I'm doing the Young Masters first. I'm also doing a course for hypnotherapists a week or so later.
Oh, wonderful.
And then finally, the conference is in the beginning of July. And I'm also doing an experience, a workshop the day after I've done my presentations for anyone who's had experiences, adults that want to connect with others and to have a chance to explore more of what's going on for them.
Wonderful, Mary. Well, I will keep people posted on Facebook on my newsfeed. And I just want to thank you for being on the show tonight and for doing so much to raise our awareness. It's just unbelievable that you're doing so much that helps wake us up.
Absolute pleasure, Lance. Thank you so much for inviting me and for all the wonderful work you do, too.
Thank you so much. We'll see you later, Mary. Good night, and good night, everybody.
Good night.